daughter, whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Have you ever loved anything you weren't supposed to love? Everybody in here said, yes, brother. All right. Let's break this down. Absalom. Why does it say Absalom first? Absalom is a bad dude. Now, listen, write this down. I always remember this. Absalom means it's the judgment for what you do wrong. Amen? In this case, in this series right here, in what we're preaching, Absalom is the punishment for what you're about to do wrong. Okay, I'll break it down. Y'all need this in a spiritual way. For the wages of sin is... Okay, Absalom is death in this case. Amen? So let me tell you this way. Every one of us have sin. Every one of us have sin, and we have a repercussion or an equal to what's going to happen because we sin. Something's going to die. Well, guess what? Absalom is that equation. Absalom's out there, and Absalom's got a hot, fine sister. Okay, I said it. Amen? And Amnon is in love with her, but the problem with that is that's Amnon's half-sister. You shouldn't love your half-sister. But he don't love her. He's got lust for her. Love and lust are two different things. We call them the same, but they're different. And some of you say, well, how can you tell the difference, Kevin, between love and lust? It's easy. Love will always wait, and lust will never wait. Love will always wait. Love, you can tell love to wait 7 years, and 7 years later, love will be sitting on the front porch saying, I've been waiting on you, babe. Amen. Love don't have corny sayings like, if you don't, I'm going to die. It'd be a good word if you just look at that person and say, well, die then. I'm going to say some real stuff in here. I hope you like it. If you don't, I'm going to explode. Good, let me get some popcorn. I want to watch this. Some of y'all know what I just meant and what I said. Hopefully, amen. If you love me, you would. If you love me, you'll wait. If you don't, you won't. And I ain't losing nothing. Don't you wish, as a Christian, you're going to pass off great things to your kids and grandkids? Does anybody want to pass off a Christian heritage to your kids and grandkids? Well, if guess what? If you have unrepented sin and hidden sin and sin that's in your life and it's multiplied and multiplied and multiplied, you're going to pass that down too. David was one of the most anointed men in the Bible. He was a man after God's own heart. And guess what? He had some jacked up kids because he kept... falling in lust with every woman that he's seen. And guess what? His kids knew that he was anointed, knew God was in his life, but also seen the wicked side, and he passed down just as much of an anointing as he did the wicked stuff. Man, we ain't going to get real today, but I am, amen? I'm going to get real with you. You better get real with me and God. We will pass down our wicked stuff if we're not careful, if we don't get it repented of, and we don't turn from it, and we don't speak to our kids about it and say, Daddy used to struggle with this, Mama used to struggle with this, but I'm fighting this, and we're not going to do this anymore. But if you think you can keep rocking on in your sin, even though God's blessing you and using you, let me break that down. You're still going to church, you're still reading your Bible, and you still got good Christian quotes. Your kids can still hear, see, and understand what's going on behind the scenes. Amnon and Absalom are David's kids, and so is Tamar. Amen? And they've watched their daddy be used of God in mighty ways. Giants have been slain. Armies have been defeated. But they've also seen a wreck at home. Guys, if you got a wreck at home, your kids will pick up on that more than what they see of your public persona. Amen? Amen, preacher, you're preaching good. Verse 2, and Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. Man, write this. You don't like this, but write this down. There are things that are just wrong. But the government says they're right. Society says they're right. The news says they're right. CNN, Fox, everybody says they're right. And you're wrong if you say they're wrong. But listen, I don't care about that. I don't. There are things that you know that are wrong because God has written them in the conscience of your mind and heart. Thou shalt not steal. You know it's wrong. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not lay with another woman. That's not your wife or not your husband. You should not commit adultery. Amen. You should not covet your neighbor's stuff and be jealous and bitter of them, of what they're doing or what they have. Those things are not the Ten Commandments written on stone. Those are Ten Commandments wrote on your mind and heart. And you've got to fight everything in you to break those. For a while. You can break them. You can sear your conscience with a hot iron. You can commit sin to the point where you just don't care. But there was a time. There is a time. Hopefully, I'm preaching to somebody this morning. You're right on the verge. The devil's tempting you and trying you and pulling you and trying to get you into stuff that you know is wrong. Maybe you're drinking for the first time. Maybe you're using marijuana for the first time. Maybe you're using pills for the first time. Maybe you're having sex for the first time. Maybe you're being pushed in a direction and you're sitting there and you're going, I know better than this. I was taught better than this. But the devil's just wearing me out. I'm sick with this. That's where Amnon was. He was sitting in a place where he was magnifying all the stuff that was wrong instead of magnifying the stuff that was right. Have you ever been there? I have. And I'll be there again, if I'll be honest. Some of us 40-year-olds and 50-year-olds, and we don't struggle like that anymore, brother. Oh, yeah. You should have been on the altar already. Verse 3, but Amnon had a friend. Oh, my God. Whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. Underline that word subtle. That means that's Satan's mode of operation. See, listen, be careful who you call friends. Be careful who you call friends. Some of you've got the categories mixed up. You've got your enemy. You got your enemies with the title of friends and your friends with the title of enemy. The person that will speak in your life truth and loves you and it hurts and it cuts you to the bone, but it's absolutely true, is a friend. Precious are the wounds of a friend over the kisses of an enemy, man. Sometimes your enemy will come and kiss you when you need to be punched with the truth. I had to put that truth part in it because we might have a fist fight break out in the church. Brother, no. But listen, he had a friend, somebody he should have considered an enemy because he was subtle. Do you have any subtle people in your life? They're crafty. They're worldly wise. And they just slither into your life. And they tell you stuff that you want to hear and you think you need, but they're filling you full of lies. The devil operates here. Remember when Adam and Eve stood in the garden in front of the tree that they shouldn't have eaten of, and guess what? The devil was very subtle. And he came and he said, Can you not eat of this tree? He goes, he only changed one word of what God said. The day that you eat this tree, you shall not die. That's just one word. That's kind of a big word, ain't it? Not die. Jesus said, if you eat of that fruit, you shall die. The devil just changed one word. Some of you guys are getting pushed around by one word. Amen? You're not cool if you don't do it. You're lame if you don't do that. You ain't get nothing if you ain't done it. If you ain't experienced this, man, you ain't nobody. Hey, sometimes there's things that you just don't need to experience. Subtle friend just come rolling in. Sly, slick. Some of y'all need to defriend, unfriend, get away from some friends that you're calling friends because they're killing you. Listen. Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said to him in verse 4, why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. See, some of y'all mess up when you open your mouths. See, the devil can't read your heart. He can't discern your heart. He don't know what's really going on the inside, but you just up and tell him all the time, well, I'm struggling, I'm hurting, this is where I messed up, this is what I'm thinking about drugs, I'm thinking about. Sometimes you just got to say, hey, I'm trusting God, even though I feel jacked up. Because the devil wants to pull out that thing that you're hurting. Amen? Tell me what you want. Man, why is the king, listen, y'all ever help me right here. Why is the king's son so lame? Why are you shouldn't go without? Has the devil ever come whispering in your ear, you shouldn't go without that? You just, God, y'all better, I'll walk out here and preach to myself. Listen, hey, you deserve to get this. You deserve to drink. You deserve to take. You deserve, he ain't good, she ain't good to you. Man, you need this, man. No, you don't. Listen, then he told her, he spilled it. But listen to what he said in there. I'm in love with Tamar. I'm in love with Tamar. Absalom. Bad dude. A rock'em sock'em killer. God, I love this. If you're a man, you got to love this. There is a dude in the Bible named Absalom. And every time this guy thinks about sinning, he mentions him. He's like, I know better. Absalom's coming. If I sin, Absalom's coming. Some of y'all are sitting there going, what are you talking about, preacher? Death's coming. You're going to lose your wife. You're going to lose your kids. You're going to lose your husband. You're going to lose your house. You're going to lose your relationships. You're going to lose your job. You're going to lose it all because Absalom's coming. He's coming. If you do this, he's coming. But you're right there on the edge. Amen. You're right there on the edge because this friend, you won't kick him out. You just keep talking to him. See, that's the problem with all sin. If you talk to God and listen to God, you grow stronger. If you listen to the enemy, you grow weaker and weaker and weaker. You're just standing there conversing with him, and he's telling you it's all right to do what God said you shouldn't do, and you know inside of you not to do. Whew. Y'all having fun? I'm having the time of my life. Verse 5, and Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick, and when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto them, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it and eat it at her hand. The devil will always tell you to come up with a plan. A manipulating, lying plan. If you are a manipulating, lying, planning person, blow your own plans up. Some of y'all make it overcomplicated. How do I stop doing this? How do I stop doing that? Just ruin it for yourself. When somebody says, are you thinking about doing that? Yes. Their eyes might get this big. They might freak out. They might clench their purse. They might lock some stuff in a safe. But guess what? You're still sober. You're still married. You're still working. You're still at home. Praise God. You might be outed, but things are okay. But instead, the devil says, make a plan. Make a good plan. What kind of plan? A plan that just lay down and get sick, and when your daddy comes by, give him a guilt trip because your daddy's in for guilt trips because you've always been able to guilt him because he didn't do what he was supposed to do as a father. God. Anybody know that? How to do that? Anybody know how to do that? Anybody know how to guilt trip people till they get what you want? Dad, you never came to the games. God, you never gave me any money. You weren't there. Hey, Mom, you weren't ever there. You didn't ever help me. I was all alone. It was a tough grow up. It was a tough. How old are you? Are you alive? Are you healthy? Are you breathing? Do you have a pulse? Are you over 18? Shut up. Grow up. That's one of the hardest things in the church to say anymore is grow up. Be a man, be a woman, be mature. Earn your money, eat your food, pay your bills. Do it! Oh, you ain't gonna, bro, we need to look for another pastor. You probably do. So Amnon laid down, made himself sick. And when the king was come in to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar, my sister, come and make a couple of cakes in my sight that I may eat of her hand. The king did come, and he had an opportunity to make it right. He had an opportunity to put himself on the chain. Some of you have got an opportunity to put yourself on the chain. We want chains broke. I do. I want spiritual chains, them wickedness to be broken. But sometimes there's an opportunity for you to hook yourself up to some accountability. There's a place to hook yourself up to some control. There's a place for you to hook up to God's plan. And guess what? You got to say, I'm a wild man. I'm a wild woman. Hook me up. Put me, God, put me on the chain. Put me on, Mama, put me on the chain. Daddy, put me on the chain. Take my phone. Take my things that I'm doing this with. Take, no, God, some of you kids just check out on me. Don't take my phone. Don't take my toy. Don't take my stuff. Some of y'all are so in love with your stuff, you're not in love with God. We want a youth group. We want youth in our church. I don't want just youth in our church. I don't want them here just to be here. I want them to be on fire and excited for God. And they're changing other youth's lives because they're so on fire for God. And they're willing to put themselves on a chain every once in a while. They're willing to come and lay it in front of their parents and say, I'm doing this, Dad. I'm looking at pornography. I'm doing drugs with my friends. I'm being tempted by my girlfriend or by my boyfriend. I'm hurting right now. God, I'm trying to put myself under your control. I'm speaking radical stuff and different stuff to you this morning, and you're probably not going to do it, but I'm going to say it anyway. You got a chance to put yourself under some authority. You got a chance to put yourself under some control. And you feel like you're being locked up. But if you're locked up now, you might not be locked up later. If you won't get under your parents' authority and God's authority, you're going to be under the real authorities of life. The police, the correction officers, the hospitals, and the caretakers down at the funeral home. They'll take care of you. They'll dress you better than you've ever been dressed. And they'll comb your hair better than you've ever been your hair been combed. They'll do your makeup. They'll make you look presentable. But you'll be dead. Brother, why'd you have to go there? Because that's what the wages of sin are. They're death. And you just got a small window, guys. I've lived life. I've been there. I didn't get saved until I was 30. You got a small window to get out. You got a small window to turn things the other way. I know people in my life who spent most of their life crippled. And you know what? Their story was, I could remember watching my feet go into the car. Most of the trouble that I got into, I can remember when I got in the car. I remember when we left with my friends. I remember I went, oh gosh, this ain't going to be good for me. Y'all better hear me. Y'all better hear me this morning. Then David, verse 7. Can I get into you parents a little bit? All the kids said amen. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. David should have understood. If nobody knows their kid, you should know your kids more than anybody. If you don't know your kids more than anybody, what do you really know? Can I even break that down even further? You might be saved. You might be spiritual. But guess what? You're a failure in this life because one responsibility God has given you, He's given you children. And if you don't know them, and you can't gauge them, and you can't correct them, and you can't be in their lives, guess what? You're failing. That's what God gave you. He gave those to you. They're your responsibility. And if you ain't going to correct them, if you're not going to get involved, if you're not going to know them, David should have said, something stinks in here. This ain't right. Are you really sick? Never. You know your kids and whether they're sick or not. Oh, good. Oh, I don't feel like going to school. I'm sick. Are y'all having a test today? Amen? Well, it's the end of the semester, and, you know, I really hadn't done anything. And I've got that 24-hour virus. Amen? No, you don't. You've got to get up out of bed and go thing going on. Because the sickness you have is going to pale in comparison to the whooping you're going to receive. Amen? Amen? Are you really sick? You should know your kids. He should have looked at him and said, Amnon, you've been doing this your whole life. I know when you're manipulated. I know when you're lying. You know how I know? Because I see you in me. Woo! Some of y'all need to take your head out of the sand and remember what it was like when you was a kid. When you was a teenager. Some of y'all, you're like, well, my kids would never do. Yeah. Somebody... Leave them in the back room. Leave them in their own room. Leave them out there as long as they... No. Somebody says, why? Because he's a boy. And if I know anything, I know a boy. Because I is one. Amen? I is one. Oh, he's trustworthy. He's a good one. There ain't no such thing ever! Did I make that clear? love it when somebody would say, "All right, Kevin, you can trust him. He's a good one." I'm like, "Thank you." Ding. No, sorry. I just thought I'd interject. Eight, to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down, and she took the flour and kneaded it and made the cakes in his sight and did bake the cakes. She took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, "Have all the men out from me." And they went out every man from him. Do you see that? What is he doing? He's getting rid of his accountability. There's safety in a multitude of counselors. If you got people around you that are so good counselors, people that love you more than they love themselves, and you love them more than you love yourself, and you can listen to them and they'll tell you the truth. What he did is, men, get out of here. If you start seeing people isolate, they're about to do something messed up. Write that down for yourself. If you see yourself isolating, you're about to do something messed up. When you're going into the back room, you're looking to the left and looking to the right, and then you're about to do this or do this. It's time for you to get some people involved. Check me. Look at me. Examine me. He got rid of all of his men. He got rid of all the people that can watch his life and hold him accountable. Everybody get out. Some of y'all are sitting here going right now, well, Tamar should have. This is not about Tamar. Tamar is innocent. Tamar's just there helping her brother. Now, there's some people that's going to help you, and you're going to take advantage of them, even though they're simply there to help you. Yeah. Has anybody in here hurt some people that were simply just trying to help you? Don't you wish you could have some of that back? Don't you wish you could just have some of that back, and you didn't burn that bridge down, you didn't hurt that person? I like how it gets in the details. She made the bread. She kneaded it with her hands. She made the flour. Sometimes you need to get out. Some of y'all need, you know what some of y'all's best move when it comes to being tempted to sin is? Y'all don't like this answer. Get up and run. God will give you time. She was making the cake. She was making the bread. And she was in there cooking. And where he was looking. Gosh, that's a bump. You want it, Chris? She was cooking. He was looking. Whew! Don't preach that or teach that somewhere and take credit for it. When she was cooking, he should have been booking. Amen? He should have been running. He should have jumped out of that ring and ran down the road and told his daddy, "I'm messed up." Not his physical daddy, but his spiritual daddy. "I'm in trouble." "You're weak, man. You ran away from that beautiful girl." "Yes." "What are you afraid of her?" "Yes." "What are you afraid of? You scared?" "Yes." "Because I don't want to lose who I am. I don't want to look in the mirror 10 years from now and not recognize the person I'm looking at. I don't want to be the person my parents told me that I could be if I'd done what they told me not to be doing. They don't know no better." Can I go there? Parents, listen, I don't know about you, but when your kids are sick, remember when they was little? Some of y'all got little ones. Dude, you clean stuff, touch stuff, and pray. Stay up. And you hear me? Puke all over you. Mess all over you. He said, "God, just get them well." Now, oh yeah, all of a sudden, 5 years later, you just don't care? 10 years later, you just don't care? And you just want them not to have fun? You better get out of your own head. That person will lay their life down for you. If they tell you it's going to hurt you, it's going to hurt you. And Amnon said unto Tamar, "Bring me the meat into my chamber, that I may eat thine hand." And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the chamber of Amnon, her brother. And when she had brought them to him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, "Come lie with me, my sister." He grabs hold of her. Listen, there ain't wrong with him. There's nothing wrong with him. He's not sick. He's not tired. He's not hurt. He's not broken. He is manipulating and lying. Sometimes people can do it so good that when you walk in the room, you're like, oh, poor Amnon. What's wrong with you? I'm sin sick. Amen? I'm sin sick. There's some people that won't do anything, not because they're sick, not because they're tired, not because they're broken. They're just sin sick. And they need to get up. And it's hard because preachers and ministers and teachers and real men of God and real people in your family say, get up! Just get up! I can't! I'm hurting! Hey, not. Man, is it 2018? Golly, I'd have so many people against me right now. You shouldn't be that harsh, preacher. There's people that really need help like that. You mean the people that are totally fine, 100% healthy, who are just laying in a bed wanting somebody to bring them something when they don't need them to? Yes. I can't believe you're preaching that kind of preach. I can't either. Yes, preach. Amen. I like that. And he answered. No, listen. And she answered. Who answered? The thing that he's about to do. Even your sin will try to get you to stop sometimes. And she answered him saying, nay, my brother, do not force me. For not so such a thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Did you hear what I just said? She was reasoning with him. Once you go so far, nobody can reason with you. She said, listen. First of all, she says, don't do this. You're going to shame me. You're going to hurt me. See, your sin a lot of times will hurt somebody that's innocent. No, y'all don't get it. In Middle Eastern culture, she's a virgin. If he takes her and doesn't marry her, she will never have a husband, ever. And she's not guaranteed that her father will take care of her. Not guaranteed. So this is going to ruin the rest of her life. God, I wish I could be real with y'all. Some of y'all are committing sin and are thinking about committing sin. That it's not only going to ruin your life, but it's going to ruin other people's lives forever. Wait a minute. Let me break that down a little bit. Well, I'm just doing drugs. Yeah, because sometimes drugs are brought into this country by people like ISIS and terrorist groups. And guess what? When you buy it, guess who you're funding? ISIS and terrorist groups. Oh, brother, I don't like that. I don't like the way you say that. That ain't right. I don't care. Well, what about regular drugs like prescription? Yeah, when you do that, when you sell them and when you take them, when you give them, guess what? Somebody else does it. And guess what? They fall in the hands of your kids and they try them. And guess what? They get addicted to them. And guess what? You've created a cycle. Good? True? All right. Thought we were on the page. Yeah. We don't look at all the consequences of our sins sometimes. And then she talked about him. You will look like one of the fools. You know what she meant? As soon as you do this, you think you're going to be cool. You think you're going to be in. You're going to think you're going to be one of the most popular people. You think you're going to be all that. Guess what? You're going to be standing on the side of the road doing those exercises when you get pulled over. Amen? Doing all that. Walking a line like you're walking over the Grand Canyon. Right? You're going to be doing that. And everybody you know in this small town is going to go by and they're going to see you. And they're going to put you on speed dial. Or you're going to be on that front page of that picture and it's going to be called busted. And you're like, maybe nobody will get that prescription. Nobody will get that subscription. Nobody will get that one. Page 3! She's there! I knew it! Check it out! You don't get it? I'll take a picture and send it to you! And that's the church. Sorry. Just being real. Y'all ready? Howbeit, verse 10, howbeit he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, he forced her and he lay with her. Oh gosh, y'all ready? This is how sin works. Y'all don't like this. Some of y'all ain't experienced this, but this is how sin works. He loved her. He couldn't wait to be with her. He had to have her. He had to have it. Name, put your sin in the block right there. Verse 15, then Amnon, huh? Hate her exceedingly, so that he hated her wherewith he hated her with a greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, arise and be gone. Oh God, y'all can't handle this. Y'all want me to quit? I'll stop. I want you to hear this. If you're a man in this room, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And maybe a woman too, I don't know, but I'm just telling you. That's how sin works for us a lot of times. We want what we want. We want what we want. That's all we talk about. That's all we think about. That's what we're contemplating. We're manipulating. We're lying. And we get what we want, and now we hate the thing that we wanted. Women, you should hear me. Girls, you better listen to me. I love you, baby. I want you. I need you. My love, I got to have you. Get out of here. I don't like you. I'm just being real, y'all. That's just some real stuff. The thing, man, it's weird. But that's how sin works. You get up there and you do it, and guess what? The guilt and shame train. You start riding down the other side of it, and it gets real, real ugly. I'll be your friend. I'll be with you the rest of my life. I'm this, I'm that, man. I got you. The minute you go to the other side, I hate you. Get out of my life. I despise you. Wait a minute. That's how we operate in sin. That's how sin is. That's the relationship with sin. If you don't wait, if you don't love somebody for real, if you don't really put them through the test and find out if you love them and care about them and this is the best for you, this is what you got to look forward to. I'll take your silence as you're learning, and it's just wearing you good, all right? 16, and she said unto him, there is no cause. Listen. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou did unto me, but he would not hearken to her. Then he called his servants, and the ones he kicked out, and ministered unto him, and said, put now this woman out from me, and bolt the door after her. There is a big problem here. Your sin is no longer locked behind closed doors. Where's it at? What happens at my house and my place is my business. Never stays there, does it? Guess what? His biggest sin, his biggest trouble, his biggest weakness is where? On the front porch. God. Colossians. His biggest problem, his biggest fear, his biggest sin is now walking down the street crying and screaming. It wasn't ever going to get out. It wasn't ever going to get exposed. The devil told you, man, you deserve this. You need this in your life. You don't hold this back from you. Now it's walking down the street just gushing tears. Nobody has to ask. What's going on with Tamar? No. What's going on with so-and-so? What's going on with Amnon? I heard that he is having some kind of desires. I heard that he was trying to do this. Guess what? Nobody will have to ask that question because your sin is screaming down the road. Has your sin ever screamed down the road? Mine has. Amen? I went through my town in the backside of a police car at 17. I didn't realize that many people were out in town at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday. Thought I was in a parade. We had one red light in my hometown. We stuck in it. Great. Right next to the one market in town. And everybody needed gas that day. Because your sin don't mind to scream through town after you've committed sin. It don't mind because it's wanting to kill you. Are y'all ready? Can I show you this? Check this out. Then he called his servant and put her out, verse 18. And she had a garment of earth colors upon that were the virgins appareled, and bolted the door after her. And Tamar put on her head and rent her garment in diverse colors that was on her, and laid her hand on her head and went out crying. Verse 20, everybody look at your page. Verse 20 with me, and we'll be done, I promise, right after this thought. And Absalom. How long did it take? Absalom's a bad man. Absalom's a killer. Amen? Absalom's the wages of your sin. It didn't. Some of y'all that's been in the throes of sin before, it didn't take as long as people said it was going to take, did it? All right, let me... Verse 20, and Absalom, her brother, said unto her, Hath Amnon thy brother been with thee? Oh, huh? Check this out. But behold, now thy peace. Hold thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother. Regard not this thing. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. Oh gosh, I wish I could get this for you the way I see it in my mind. Tamar comes out crying. I can't believe this. This is so wrong. And guess who's waiting? Her big brother Absalom, who's a bad dude, walks right up to her. Sis, Amnon touch you? Don't we think we got our sin hidden a lot better than we do, don't we? So if you confess your sin and turn from your sin, most people won't be surprised about it. They'll be relieved of it. They won't be surprised. They'll be like, we knew. We were just waiting for you to let it go. Absalom says, Absalom's cool, Peyton. Absalom is a bad dude. I want to be an Absalom, but I'm probably not because I'm not that cool. But Absalom goes, hey, sis, what's going on? Amnon get you? Yeah. Yeah, he did. He hurt me bad. Go to my house. Get cleaned up and wait. I'll take care of it. Wait a while. Wait a while. Your brother's got this. Wait a while. You know what Amnon did? I got it! I did it! I got what I wanted! Man, I am the Mac Daddy! I got her, man! I'll be the slave! Oh, yeah! Praise it! Yeah, that's cool! And then guess what? Some time later, maybe a year or so later, Absalom had a party at his house. And one invitation was made clear. Amnon, will you come to my house for this party? It's going to be a killer party. And I want you to be there, friend, because I know how you like to party. Amen? And he gets there, and guess what? Yeah, Absalom kills him. Amen? And then this news came back and it said, oh, all your sons, King David, all your sons have been killed at this party. But guess who? Listen, I want y'all to get this. But guess who delivers him some good news? Let me find what was the friend's name? Let me get real quick. But Amnon had a friend, and his name was Jonadab. Right? Jonadab? Never mind, y'all. Check this out. Absalom kills Amnon, and Jonadab is at the palace. And the bad news comes back, and King David thinks that he's lost all of his sons. And Jonadab says, King, don't feel bad. It's just Amnon. It's just Amnon. It's just one of your sons. Amen? The one that I gave the plan to on how to get the sin completed. See, the friend that you thought was a friend is now standing in high places, at wickedness in high places, telling your parents, oh, it's just Amnon, it's not so bad. You hear me? You see how it comes all the way around? You say, preacher, I can't believe on a Sunday morning you're going to preach a story about how a half-brother raped his half-sister. And how his half-brother ended up killing his half-brother. Well, I'm preaching it this morning because guess what? Everybody in this room at one time or another is on the verge of being sinning, and you have temptation, and you have people in your life trying to tell you it's okay, and if you push past this, this is going to be the story of your life, and we won't be preaching a story out of the Bible. We will be doing your funeral or talking about you, how you're in prison or in jail or you're under the throes of your sin and you can't get out. As we all stand as they come get up a song of invitation. If you're being tempted and tried this morning, or young people under the age of 30, if you're a teenager and you are being tempted and tried and pushed through sin today, if you've got friends telling you need to try this, you need to do this, if you've got a girlfriend that's pressuring you, a boyfriend that's pressuring you, if somebody in your family's pressuring you, you need to come up here and put yourself on the chain.
God, give me some accountability. God, give me some authority. Some of you parents in this room need to be on this altar this morning and say, God, open my eyes to what my kids are doing. Open my eyes to what my kids are going through, that I can minister to them as a parent should. These altars are open. I don't even know why nobody's up here praying. I guess everything's all right in this church. This was a message by mistake. I missed the target. I didn't hit the right audience.
407.